Time for our weekly chat with Quincy Mayor Tom Koch to get us an update on the city situation with the virus and with other things that are going on. Mayor, good morning. Great to talk to you.
Same here, Joe. Good to talk to you as always. And it's not raining, so that's a good thing.
Oh my gosh, I thought we were going to get either washed or blown away.
Glad the spring.
All I could think of was, thank goodness it wasn't snow, we'd be buried.
You're not kidding. You bite your tongue.
Exactly. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing fine. You know, I mean, it's very, very different for me. And I guess that's true for everybody. And I don't say that in a complaint. It's just, you know, how the day is driven now. It's very different than what I'm used to. You know, we're in 7 days a week, and we got a great staff. Everybody's working very hard to try to get the plow through this, you know. It's just amazing how what seemed so important 2 months ago is not so important right now. Looking forward to getting back to some normalcy, as everybody else is, I'm sure.
Sure. Maybe just give us a little bit of an update. I know that you had, last week, you'd said you might like to do a little longer update at City Hall. Is that still something you're hoping to do?
Yeah, we're trying to, it definitely at some point, I just want to have enough information that's relevant and timely when I do that. I'd hate to do it and then the governor the next day announce all kinds of new dates. So we're trying to follow a little bit what the state leaders, in this case the governor's doing, and what's being recommended from the feds. I mean, I'm on the phone on a regular basis with different groups of mayors, metro mayors, mass mayors, other groups. Mm-hmm. And you know, they're all hardworking, and they all know their community, and they all have different, you know, take on this thing. So it's very interesting. There's I think I've said before, there's no right or wrong here on how we proceed. There's a lot of differing opinions, and for that matter, there's a lot of differing opinions in the medical community on the treatment and et cetera. So a lot of moving parts to it, and we're just trying to make good, solid decisions with obviously the health and safety of our residents first. You know.
Sure. Now, the governor said he expects sometime this week to talk about the May 4th potential reopening. Have you heard anything more about that from his office?
I have not. I know I've had a couple of conversations with Lieutenant Governor Karen Polito and asking my opinion. And, you know, I had a roundtable with business folks last week, and, you know, I certainly solicited opinions from them, all types of different businesses, from small to large, retail to construction. I think I might have talked a little bit about it before, but and I shared some of that with her, and to help them come up with a solution, perhaps. You know, some of these businesses, like hair salons and barbershops, they're looking for some guidance on how to operate. I mean, it's impossible for some people to wear a mask while you're getting your hair cut, especially going to a woman's salon. They're getting it washed and all. I don't know that they can wear a mask, you know. Mm-hmm. You get those kinds of questions. You can't be 6 feet apart when you're doing somebody's hair. So, you know, there's legitimate questions they're looking for some guidance on. They want to get back to work, but they want to go back to work in a safe manner for their employees as well as their customers. So things like that come up, questions like that. You know, I don't know if there's going to be perfect answers to all of these things, you know. Yeah. Generally speaking, on things, the 6 foot, you know, distancing is common sense. People should use that. Right now, we've advised people to use masks when they go into, you know, pharmacies or supermarkets or takeout places, the 7-Eleven, what have you, so that wherever you can't, you know, abide by the social distancing, please wear a mask and be smart about things and continually remind people to wash their hands, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, we're getting calls now about people snitching on people not wearing a mask, and it's getting a little crazy. So I hope this thing comes to a conclusion soon.
Yeah, it is. It's a different time for sure. I was reading articles this morning in the Globe about some of the restaurants down in the States that's starting to reopen, but they're hesitant and they're trying to implement, you know, 50% capacity rules and sanitation rules. It's going to be a new playbook that we write as we go, it sounds like.
I agree with that. Yeah. And, you know, until, you know, we get a better sense of it, perhaps, you know, next year, year and a half, 2 years is a vaccine, who knows, calm people down. You know, it goes both ways in my head. Okay. What happens when, you know, so let's say that everything looks good and we're going to open everything up and, you know, do people immediately rush out because they're sick of being in the house all the time? Or are they going to be have that fear and be concerned about going out to dinner or going here or going there, you know? And I go both ways about it in my head about it, you know? Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, I've been watching this and reading so much, and there's so much information out there. And Sweden took some criticism because they didn't do a full lockdown. Mm-hmm. They suggested that, you know, the elderly and people that have health conditions say self-quarantined, but kept others going. It's interesting, their death rate, I think it's 200 per million, is, you know, less than Italy and some of the others. It's on par with some other places that did lock down. So there's so much to learn from all this.
Yes.
You know, it's clear that, you know, for kids, the kids doesn't seem to affect them. You know, they kept the schools open over there. So yeah, I don't know. It's it will be a new playbook. Hopefully it'll be a little clearer as we write the playbook, but there's still a lot to learn on all this. So who knows if we're going to have all the answers.
Right. Speaking of the kids, I know that the school committee will be meeting virtually again tomorrow night. Any guidance that you're hearing from the state education department about graduations, report cards, grading, anything of that?
Yeah, we'll go over all that tomorrow night, but, you know, everyone will be promoted. I think as far as grades go, they'll go the last completed, you know, grade period. Okay. They continue to suggest we continue to do the virtual learning and educational packets and, you know, all of the things to try to keep the kids' minds engaged. And, you know, it's not necessarily learning the straight lessons as you would in the classroom, because it's a different, you know, feel and atmosphere, and it's hard to do that. But, you know, they've been working closely with the districts and you know, nobody's happy about it all around, but I'm just trying to deal with it. It's unprecedented. It's uncharted waters. It's, you know, this thing has been thrown everything upside down. So, you know, I think the decision, I wasn't surprised by the decision not going back. I was hoping we maybe go back for a couple of weeks just to finish the year and, you know, get a sense of that structure before we stop and then start up again for September. I think the transition going back in September is going to be a little tougher.
Yeah.
But everybody's in the same boat. It's not like it's unique to Quincy. Everyone's in the same boat all over the place. So we'll deal with it and get through it.
Yep. I heard a report this morning that a lot of the colleges are obviously sensitive to this and are waiving, you know, exam requirements, things of that nature. However, there are advising students to be prepared to talk about what they did during their downtime. That would be a factor, I guess, in deciding admission.
Sure. I'm sure some of the kids had early admission offers, the ones that do the early applications and all. But yeah, this is, and then you're going to have those folks. And certainly as a parent, you know, I'd be a little concerned sending my kid off in September to somewhere far away that when this thing isn't quite settled. I mean, the other side of the coin on this that I was reading a little bit more about with a couple of psychiatrists was that the damage this is doing to people that kind of live on the edge, that have anxiety issues, that maybe are in the AA program, that have a mental illness of some sort of disorder. These people that live, you know, on the edges there, that this is creating a major problem in that world. And as this psychiatrist said, some of these mental anxiety issues lead to real physical issues.
Yes.
So, I mean, you know, so there's that to weigh. There's so many pieces to this that we need to look at and try to, you know, create that balance as we ramp up and reopen that, you know, I haven't seen all the stats. It'd be interesting to look at all the data. And of course that's something you look at afterwards, but you know, are the suicide rates up more than they usually are? My guess is they are. So, you know, we got to weigh all that stuff and make a good informed decision on how we ramp up and open up again for our businesses and government. And we're planning, as soon as we know the date on the governor, we'll plan accordingly for the municipal buildings, but certainly the many of our employees are working from their home. We've been doing rotations with our public works, parks and forestry, public buildings, and you know, a lot of departments. Obviously the public's not coming in the buildings, but they can interact by phone, they can interact by the website, online. So there's a lot of work being done. But you know, we're ramping back up to full shifts next week on DPW parks. I mean, the grass is growing. This, mm-hmm. The potholes have to be fixed. The infrastructure has to be addressed. So we got to be at full staff on a regular basis. The question, one of the questions we're grappling now, do we bring on summer help? Summer help, usually, you know, you have three or four in a truck and you can't have that social distancing. Are they able to wear masks and gloves and you know, meet the guidelines? There's still a lot of questions we're grappling with as we go forward.
Sure. There, of course, the recreational programs gear up over the summertime. That'll need to be dealt with, I'm sure.
Yeah, so it's a big question. Do we even have it?
Right.
Big question.
Sure. Yeah. Can you talk a little bit, Mayor, about a plan to help some of the small businesses in Quincy?
Yes, as you know, we did the rental assistance program through the Chamber of Commerce and through QCAP, and that's being paid for the Affordable Housing Trust Fund. Mm-hmm. We had lobbied Congressman Lynch and Congressman Kennedy on the Community Development Block Grant piece if we get flexibility in the language so that some of the caps that are required are lifted so we could adjust to the needs here in Quincy with this crisis. And so they not only did that, but Congressman Lynch, they got additional money put into the CDBG. So we get an additional $1 million to work with in the CDBG program. So I've charged the planning department to come up with a plan to give grants to small businesses to help them with their rent or mortgage. As they're dealing with their businesses. You know, there's a lot of small little operators that may fall between the cracks under the typical small business administration loans. And we saw what kind of problems they had getting that to everybody, that this next stimulus piece is trying to backfill some of those original applicants. But some of these people that, you know, live very, very close to the edge and, you know, a small little cleaner operation or these independent contractors or whatever their case may be. So we're going to have some parameters on this. We'll probably by tomorrow have the detail on where to apply, how to apply, probably have the application online. We're going to try to keep it as simple as we can, meeting the federal guidelines. And we hope to help as many, you know, probably a cap of, say, 10,000 on it, and hope to help as many businesses as we can. I don't even know if I've met the woman, but the woman that opened Token Fire on Washington Street,
yep.
She spent, probably a year and a half investing hundreds of thousands, renovating the whole place. She's leasing it, of course, and she's closed. Right. You know, you see, and there's a lot of examples. I don't mean to embarrass anyone or pick on anyone. It just, yep. There's so many examples of to try to keep the economy going. You know, when people talk about stimulus and talk about keeping the economy going, that's our responsibility as well. It doesn't happen from the top down necessarily. Mm. You know, these programs help us to implement programs locally. Mm-hmm. But we, you know, in order to get the economy continue to keep it going, as a city, seventh largest in the Commonwealth, we're one of those economic engines that has the responsibility to do it. So when I talk to you about infrastructure, keep moving on it. Sewer, water, roads, buildings, public safety complex, all those things. Those all not only are updating our infrastructure, they relate directly to jobs. You know, and people just think of the construction worker. It's more than that. Think of the manufacturer of the wallboard and the pipe. And the company that, sells that and the driver that delivers that. I mean, that puts a lot of food on a lot of people's tables. And we got to be mindful of that to keep this economy going. We got to do our part. So here in Quincy, that's another way we're making the adjustment with the CDBG to help those smaller shops that it's probably going to be somewhere in the vicinity of less than $1 million gross a year because the larger ones seem to have met the SBA guidelines and getting some assistance there. So a lot of people have fallen the crack. And $1 million sounds like a lot, but it's, you know, when you're in that business, that's a gross number. Right. There's a lot of people that fall in that category, well under that need some help.
Yeah, there's small independent bakeries, of course, laundromats.
Yeah, you name it. Yeah.
Barbershops, things like that. And they have, you know,
absolutely.
Expenses that come out of that $1 million gross that whittle it down pretty quickly. Yeah.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll get that out tomorrow and be able to help some folks keep things moving for them.
How's the rental assistance fund? Is there still some left in that $1 million that was set aside?
Well, there is, but we expect, we've only paid 1 month's rent. So
right.
We expect with, May coming that we'd end up doing that again. So okay. It's going to eat it away pretty quickly. You know, I think that the chamber program, they've processed about 340 applicants, which is pretty significant. And they either work or live in Quincy. And, you know, that goes directly to landlords, which is huge because it helps the landlords pay their mortgages. Right. You know, so it's been a good program. And then, of course, you know, 340 were not necessarily approved, but I think about 300 were approved.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we put about, you know, 350,000 of the allotment that went to Quincy Chamber.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 100,000 went to QCAP, and I think they're almost out of that allotment dealing with the rental program that they've agreed to assist us on, which is more of the hair salons, nail salons, gyms,
yeah.
whereas the chamber was more of the hospitality, restaurant, hotel workers, and so forth. So, you know, and I remind people that this fund was made available, Affordable Housing Trust, through the inclusionary zoning, which requires developers to put money into this fund. So this has been great. It's not coming out of our typical tax line or general fund. It's coming out of what developers pay when they want to develop. So this has been a great asset to have to help us mitigate some of the problems people are having out there.
Yeah. Will you be presenting to the city council next week, Mayor, about the budget?
I will not, because there are still some moving parts, and I don't know that we'll get all of them answered by the time we present.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like I'm going to be going May 18th,
okay.
which is going to give us a little bit more time to see if local aid is going to be affected. It gives us more time to analyze the local receipts for the end of the fiscal year,
yeah.
make some assumptions going forward. And so we need a little bit more time.
Okay.
I mean, we had essentially, before this started, we had the budget done. As far as it being built and even printed, and we had to go back, and I've gone back maybe four or five times now,
yeah.
and whittled and readjusted and just trying to make good decisions that going to help us get through this process, you know. So, and again, I have a great team around me in municipal finance, and my immediate staff have been terrific on this stuff. Department heads are working very hard. So, you know, and the council understands. I have conversations with the council president as well as the finance chair on this. And they fully understand and get it, and they're fine with whatever schedule we come up with. So,
sure,
that's helpful.
Very good. Anything else, Mayor, we should touch on this morning?
Boy, oh boy, I don't know if we, you give me the weather report. We got some good weather coming or what?
Actually, that's a good point. It's supposed to be 70 degrees this weekend, so I know social distancing will be difficult. Yeah.
But at least things are greening and the blossoms are coming out. God, we need a little shot in the arm, you know?
That's so true. I think it's going to help lift people's spirits as long as they do it responsibly. Yeah.
Amen. Yep.
Thanks
so much.
Thank
you, Joe.
Thank you. Yep.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.